Thank you for being here once again tonight. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. We were in this chapter this morning. Actually, we just kind of used it for a springboard, and we'll do the same thing again tonight, just a little bit different verse here. I'm going to let you sit down tonight because I've got to hurry. Sister Linda McCann said, I need to be done before dark. I just hope she don't go back there and turn the lights out here in a minute. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth an order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. That's what we preached on this morning, those things which are most surely believed among us. And then the second verse, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And here's our text tonight in verse number 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. This morning we were looking at those things which are the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. And tonight I want to look at the subject of the certainty of those things which are most surely believed among us, wherein thou hast been instructed. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I pray tonight, our Father, that you would clothe us in our calling and help us tonight to be a help. Lord, I know that we're living in an uncertain world. There's a lot of things tonight that we don't know, but I pray tonight, God, we could concentrate for just a few minutes on the things that we do know. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible said over there, I believe it was in the book of Timothy, this know, that in the last time, perilous times shall come. And I remember years ago, God gave me a message, and I preached out of that chapter on precious truths for perilous times. And tonight, God wants us to look at some things according to the Word of God here that we can be certain about. And I appreciate the Lord, don't you? We're going to be taking most of our text tonight from the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, only one of these references is in 3 John. The rest of them are all found in the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, the word know, K-N-O-W, is used 28 times in the book of 1 John. Before I go any further, let me say this to you. John is the one that leaned on Jesus' bosom. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's how you can know some things, amen. You get close to the heart of God, beloved, you can know. And then he used the word known 6 times and the word knoweth 6 times. So if my math is correct, that's 40 times. 39 of those times in 1 John alone, and then you got one more, and we're going to use that one too over in the book of 3 John, and that we know. And I'm just going to give, I think it's about 5 things tonight that we know, the certainty of those things. You know, I used to ask the men in prison something like this, you know, do you know how old you are? And I know how old I am. You want to know how I know? I've got a birth certificate. It's in the safe. It says that December the 31st, 1959, about 8:10 a.m., a little boy was born into this world. And it's got my name, Richard Timothy Vannoy, on that birth certificate. It's got Mama's name on it. It's got Daddy's name on it. There was a record, amen? So I know, amen? I don't remember it, but I know it happened. But I like this. I heard a song a little while back. I had a birth I can't remember. But then again, I had one I can't forget. I was born again on February the 22nd, 1987. And you know what? They sang about it the other day. There's a record book. Hallelujah. Amen. God's got a record book. He's got a record of that birth. And I used to tell the men in prison, I'd say something like this, what size shoe do you wear? And they'd tell me. How much do you weigh? They'd tell me. How many kids you got? And they'd tell me. And then I'd say, are you saved? And sometimes, beloved, they would say yes. And sometimes there was a question mark. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. God don't want us wandering around down here in this world. When you're asked, are you born again? Are you saved by the grace of God? And there's uncertainty there. That's what I'm preaching about tonight, is being certain. Then you know what we're saying? Well, I'm not sure he's my father. I want you to know something tonight. If my dad walked through that door back there tonight, and some of you all that's never met him said, Brother Rick, y'all look a lot alike. Is that your dad? What would it be if I said, well, I think so? What would it be if I said, well, I hope so? What would it be if I said, he says he is? Something like that. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, there's only one answer that would be right. Yes, sir, Brother Chris, this is my dad. I'm glad for you to meet him. His name is John. Amen. And so I know who my dad is on earth. He's in heaven now. But I knew who my dad was when he was here. And God wants us to know the certainty of those things, that we can know our Heavenly Father. Amen. Not I hope he's my Heavenly Father. I think he's my Heavenly Father. But praise God, when I get done with this first point, I hope you can say, I know he's my Heavenly Father. And if you can't know that tonight or don't know that, I want you to know that God wants you to know. Number one, we know the Savior. Listen to these verses. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Beloved, his commandments are not grievous. He told us to love one another. If you've ever been born again, you don't have any trouble loving God's people. Say amen. And I'm telling you tonight, the commandments of God, Jesus took them all and hung them on too. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen. And the second is likened to the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling you, beloved, Mays Jackson said he had a lady come up to him one time and said, I just can't keep the commandments. Brother Mays looked at her and said, well, let me ask you something. Which one you having trouble with? Amen. Nail it down right there. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we're not saved by keeping the commandments, but when we get saved, we want to keep the commandments of God. Amen. And we have a power in us to be able to do that. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. You say, Pastor, that's strong language, but you need to understand, that's not my language. All I done was read a verse of Scripture. Say amen. There's something wrong in my life if I want to live in sin and say that I'm a child of God. Amen. There's something wrong in my life. Then the Bible said in 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. Thank God tonight I don't only know that he's in me, but I know that I'm in him. Amen. I'm in his hand. That's what the word of God said. And no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty safe place to be tonight. Amen. In the hand of a holy Father. 1 John 2 and 29 said, if you know that he is righteous, how many knows he's righteous? Then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You say, Pastor, this sounds like a work salvation. Not if you understand the Bible. What it sounds like to me is not a work salvation, but a salvation that works. Amen. When a person gets saved, they want to do the right thing. Amen. And when we don't do the right thing, we repent of it, don't we? We're sorry of it. Amen. Because it breaks our heart that we broke the heart of God. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. I thank God for that, don't you? We know that. That's why he came, to take away our sin. In him is no sin. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How do you know you've passed from death unto life? Sister Bessie, I leaned over to Brother Chuck a while ago. I said, Sister Bessie got saved and she ain't missed a service. Glory to God, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know you passed from death unto life. You fall in love with the brethren. Say amen. You love the church. The people of God. Amen. Amen. I don't dread coming to church. I don't have to come to church. I get to come to church. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Don't you? Now watch this here. In 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Here's what the Word of God said. How can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? I'm telling you, listen, I love that verse over there. I believe Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. The love of God is and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. I believe that tonight. The Bible said in 1 John 5, 2, by this know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. It's all tied together. 1 John 5 and verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I love the Lord tonight. Thank God the Son of God has come. And thank God He's coming again. Amen. I was listening to a little advertisement for Smiley today. You can look him up. You can find him down there in Texas. Amen. And he talked about your income is coming and your day is coming. And when he got done with all that stuff, it's coming. It's that health and wealth gospel. I said, why don't you tell somebody Jesus is coming? Amen. Get ready. Jesus is coming. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's a mess we're in. Then this is one of my favorite verses for blessed assurance. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you believed on Jesus? Amen. When you believe on Jesus, here's what John said. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Now listen, one word would change that altogether. It didn't say know that you will have eternal life. Because if you look in that same passage of Scripture, it says this. It's an old English term. He that hath the Son, that we would say has. But he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm telling you, the devil's trying to complicate this thing. But if you've got Jesus, honey, you've got life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Amen. The Bible said these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the certainty of those things, beloved, to be certain is to know. Number one, we know the Savior. Number two, we know the season. Listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse number 18. He said, little children, it is the last time. How many believes, honey, that we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God? I love that song, Brother Dale, just any day now. Our Lord is coming. Amen. I'm telling you, just any day now, just any moment now. You say, Pastor, I've been hearing that all my life. I'm 65. I've been hearing it all my life. Sister Carol told me in a very humble way the other day. She said, Pastor, ever since I've been a little girl, I believed I would live to see the coming of Jesus. I said, I hope you do. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God wants us to understand that we're living in a season. We can't know the date. We can't know the hour. But honey, I'm telling you, you read your Bible. We're living in that season. Amen. I don't believe one thing has to happen. I believe Jesus is going to come again when the bride is complete. Little children, it's the last time. You've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God. By the way, I'm going to stop and say something tonight. Some may not like it, but the NIV can't even get John 3:16 right. They said, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the way it's read in the NIV. You say, well, Pastor, what's the matter with that verse? I'll tell you what's the matter. They made a lie out of it. Amen. Jesus Christ is not God's one and only Son. He's God's only begotten Son, just like the King James Bible said. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that, beloved? Now. Right now, Brother Chris, we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear, Brother Brian, what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. God's got youngins running around all over the globe. sons of the living God. Amen. I tell you, we don't need to mess with the Bible. We just need to read it. It don't need to be fixed. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to believe it and let it fix us. Amen. That's the secret tonight. We'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Then, not only do we know of a certainty the Savior, we know of a certainty the season, but we know of a certainty concerning the Scripture. Listen to 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, listen to what this man said. He's unknown, the writer. He said, this book is the mind of God. He's talking about the Bible. The state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is open, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary. Glory to God. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. It'd be better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Jesus is plastered all over the Old Testament. Amen. You can't even get out of Genesis without meeting Jesus. Amen. He's right there. You say, Pastor, where's he at? How about this? Let us. Somebody tell me who the us is. Make man in our. Who's the our? Who's the us? I'll tell you who they are. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's who they are. The Bible, or this man said, follow its precepts. It'll lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. Amen. So because of the certainties of these things, John wanted us to know the Savior. He wanted us to know the season. He wanted us to know the Scripture. Then there's a couple more things, and I'll be done tonight. He wanted us to know the Spirit. I love that song, Brother Dale, all is vain unless the Spirit. Oh, Isaiah, years ago I heard a preacher say this, and I've never forgotten it. He said we need to get the O back in our prayer life. That O represents desperation. Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 64, he said something like this. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Honey, we need his presence. We need his power. I'm telling you, we're just, beloved, going through the motions without him. But with him, beloved, we can see a work accomplished. We know the Spirit. Listen to what the Bible said, 1 John 3:24. Hey, how many believes John wanted us to know something? Amen. He wanted us to know some things. And the certainty of these things. He's not wishy-washy. Amen. He knows. He said, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given unto us. I made a mistake for years. Brother Chuck, I used to tell people there's only one way you can know for sure that you're saved. I used to tell them that. And I was in 1 John chapter 5. And that's by the word of God. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not right. Beloved, the Bible said there's a spirit that bears witness, amen, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. Yes, sir, I'm not diminishing the importance of the Scripture, But I'm going to tell you, when I got up that night, somebody moved in. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I went down full of sin and come up full of the Spirit. Amen. Full of God. Amen. He forgave me. Amen. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He forgave me of my sin. And He wants us to know the Spirit which He hath given us. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. I'm missing something here. I just preached the truth. I know it's the truth, but I want to back it up with Scripture. 1 John chapter number 5. Watch this here. The Bible said here, if we receive, in verse number 9 of chapter 5, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Honey, when you get saved, there's a witness comes in. The Holy Spirit. And for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. It's not just the Word. There's a witness. Amen. There's a witness. Let me give you an example. I was a church member for 6.5 years. 6.5 years I was striving. I was trying to do everything I could to do what was right. I wanted to be a good dad. I wanted to be a good husband. I wasn't mocking God. I was just trying. Salvation's never been by trying. Salvation's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Trying's what we can do. We need to trust in what He's already done. Amen. But I'll tell you, the Word of God said here, he that receiveth the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in, I like to stop and say this, water baptism? Nope. Church membership? Nope. Doing the best you can? Nope. This life is in His Son. That's where you find life, in the Lord Jesus. It's what you do with Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Hereby then we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. The Bible said in 1 John 5:15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Beloved, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that allows us to understand the Bible. He's the one that allows us to get on our knees or lay on our bed or sit on our seat and pray and know that our prayers are carried to the throne room of God because of He, the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing that I want to give you in the message, we know the saints. And this is the 3 John reference. 3 John chapter 1. Well, it's only one chapter, but 3 John verse 12. Demetrius, listen to this now, hath a good report. This is Bible of all men. Here recently, somebody said this to me. I can't remember who it was. It's happened several times, and I don't say it boastfully. But every once in a while, Brother Brian, somebody runs into somebody that knows me. And they told me what a blessing it was, you know, that you ain't running into somebody out there that knows something that ain't so good. You understand what I mean? Now, I know the things that ain't so good, and I ain't telling you. Because I done told Jesus, and He done forgive me. Amen. You know what John R. Rice did when it come time to confess to the Lord? He wrote it on toilet paper, wadded it up, and flushed it. Amen. Hey, there ain't none of us, no angels, say amen. Put your halos up. If a man says he's without sin, he's lying. Amen. But we can confess to our Lord, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. But the Bible said Demetrius hath a good report of all men. Did that mean Demetrius was perfect? Nope. It just means he served God. He had a reputation. He had a report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And John said, ye know that our record is true. Wouldn't it be sad, Brother Chris, if you was out there in Kingsport at the Y and somebody just had some big, long tales to tell on me, amen, I could see your face just get long, and I could see your heart get heavy, and you'd wonder, is this the truth? You understand what I mean? You're human, brother, and you know I'm human. But I'm just telling you, beloved, we ought to strive as the children of God to live in such a way above reproach, amen? That don't mean we're perfect, but we ought to live in such a way. Brother Brian, I believe you got a good reputation down at the hospital. Listen, were you the therapist that came by my room, tried to stand me up? I'd had a motorcycle wreck, broke my back. And Brother Brian tried to stand me up, and he couldn't stand me up. I was hurting so bad. Oh, I couldn't even speak. And he kept saying something to me. Breathe. Breathe. Breathe, he'd say. He's worried about me, amen. And I looked at him, looking back on it, Brother Dale, it is hilarious. But when he finally set me down on the bed, he said, maybe we need to wait till tomorrow and try this again. It hurts so bad, Brother Chris. I don't know if I've ever hurt that bad in my life. When it finally got to where I could talk a little bit, I said, Brian, have you ever had the breath knocked out of you? And when you think about it, he's like standing there wondering, is he going to hit me? But my illustration was this. How many's ever had the breath knocked out of you? When you get the breath knocked out of you, you want a breath worse than life itself. Amen. And what my illustration, what I was trying to teach him was this. I'm not choosing not to breathe. I can't. It hurts so bad. Amen. I can't breathe. But I'll tell you tonight, Demetrius had that record. Brother Brian's got a good record down there at the hospital. I'm going to read something to you tonight in closing. And I want you to think about this tonight. This is not aimed, but I believe there's a lot of truth in it. We may not need any of it, but we may need some of it. Amen. I'm going to read it to you. How many sports fans we got here tonight? How many knows anything about football? How many knows anything about football? Anything? There's stripes on the field, right? A goalpost on both ends. Y'all know that, right? The football, you know how it's shaped, right? You know a little something about football. Well, I want to read this tonight. My grandpa, years ago, they tried to get him to watch a football game. They said, Dad, you need to watch it. The kids, Dad, you need to watch it. It's something else, they said. And my grandpa watched about the first quarter. And they said, what do you think? He said, I don't know why they don't just buy them all a ball and quit fighting over at one. that's his vision of football. Amen. I want you to listen to this tonight. Listen to this. Imagine that we are a TV sportscasters standing on the sidelines of a football game, and we're going to give a play-by-play. Scene number one. The team nearest us is standing together, heads bowed in prayer, with the coach in the center. Suddenly, they give a great cheer, and the coach trots out onto the field by himself. The players go sit on the bench. What's going on? We ask as we stick a microphone in front of a 250-pound guard. What's the coach doing out there? Oh, he's going to play today. All by himself? Sure, why not? He's had a lot more experience in training than the rest of us. We've got a lot of rookies on this team, and we might make mistakes. Anyway, they pay the coach well. We're all here to cheer and support him. And look at the huge crowd that's come to watch him play. Bewildered, we watch as the opening team kicks off. The coach catches the ball and valiantly charges up the field, but is buried under 11 opposing tacklers. He's carried off half conscious. You think that's ridiculous? But isn't that the picture of many that us have of the church? The members expect the minister to do the preaching, the praying, the witnessing, the visiting. He's paid to do the Lord's work, and he's better at it than we are. But listen to God's game plan. According to Ephesians, Christ has given the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for God's work of service. God gives leaders to the church, not to do all the work, but to help all God's people to do it. Lay people are not there simply to pay pastors and evangelists to do the Lord's work. Rather, pastors and evangelists are teachers to equip the so-called lay people to be ministers. Your pastor is meant to be a kind of a playing coach. His main function is to help you as a Christian discover your spiritual gifts, develop them, and use them to build up the body of Christ. Nobody's offended, right? We're going on. We're going on to another scenario. This is not to offend anybody, but I'm telling you, this is exactly how the average church operates. Amen? And now look at scene number two. The team realizes that they've all got to play. And they're on the field in a huddle. I love this one. They huddle and huddle and huddle. The referee calls a penalty for delaying the game. And he moves the ball back 5 yards. Still, the team huddles and huddles and huddles. The referee calls penalty after penalty until finally the ball is moved way back to their own goal line. "Hey, coach!" shouts the quarterback to the sideline. "This is the greatest huddle I've ever seen. What a group of guys. We have the best fellowship. And some of the guys are amazing students of the playbook. Some have memorized over 100 plays and can analyze them precisely. Why should we? What we want are bigger and better. We learn so much in this huddle, but why don't you get up on the line and play? Why should we? What we want are bigger and bigger huddles. Besides, we might get hurt. No one ever got hurt in a huddle. Your church and mine are in big trouble if they become a holy huddle, a band of saints gathered Sunday after Sunday, singing, praising, enjoying each other, but never setting out on the line to apply what they learn. The church is supposed to be Christ's body, His hands, His feet, His voice, by which He carries out His plans in the world. God intends that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. The church is to be God's light in a dark, corrupt society. The Christian life was never meant to be lived only in church for a couple hours on Sunday. It's meant to be lived in the public arena, on the firing line at school, the office, in the neighborhood, 7 days a week. Of course, we need worship and training and fellowship with other Christians. A football team needs a huddle, but it's what happens after the huddle that the game is all about. I'm still not done. I hope everybody's all right. Amen. It needs to be read. You know what, Brother Brian? I'm spoiling the milk right here. But when I got down to the end of this, here's what my plan was, Brother Chris. You know how they huddle, and Jackson knows, break, right? I was going to do something like, after church tonight, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Okay, break! Break the huddle up! Amen! Here's scene number three. The team breaks out of the huddle, but instead of lining up against the opposing squad, they break into groups of two or three, arguing with each other. I love this. Soon they start shoving, and two of them actually get into a fight. "What's wrong now?" we ask one of them as he walked off the field in disgust. He said, "That bunch of malcontents can't agree on anything." He said, "Those two over there are arguing over the color of the uniforms. A couple of others are quarreling over the right way to kneel in the huddle. Those two guys are arguing because one believes in what he calls personal football, and the other believes in social football." Y'all like this, don't you? Amen. "They can't agree whether the individual or the team is more important. Some of the white players say that the blacks should go play on their own field, and some of the black guys don't like the band music. A couple are fighting over whether women should be allowed to play. And I'm quitting because I can pass a lot better than the other guy, and they won't let me be the quarterback. The game plan says that Christ, who is our peace, His purpose was to create in Self a one new man of two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace, to reconcile both of them to God through His cross, by which He put to death their hostility. Christians talk about a lot about peace, the peace of Christ. Can the world see the peace in our church relationships? Within the body of Christ, there's plenty of room for diversity of gifts, but underlying the diversity is unity. We should be humble and gentle. We are to be patient, bearing with one another, and forbearing one another in love. Make an ever effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God and Father of all. Isn't it time to show our oneness in truth and love to a watching world? I'm just going to say this before I go to the last thing. When Jesus prayed for us over and over that they may be one, He's talking to the Father. He said that they may be one, even as we are one. Okay, here we go. I'm almost done. All right, y'all all right? Amen. Sister Bessie, if you're all right, I don't care about the rest of them. Amen. I'll give you that last paragraph. Here it comes. So the first half ends. The team drags off the locker room defeated, demoralized, beaten. But when the second half begins, we see a different team. Suddenly, they're playing together with a new spirit. They huddle, slap each other on the back. I've watched football sometimes on the bud, ain't it? But anyway, and take the line. They're off the ball with a split-second timing. There's no hesitation. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. Each player carries out his assignment. And soon they score a touchdown, then another, and another. When the game ends, they've won. Afterwards, in the locker room, the players are exhausted, cut, and bruised, but they're happy. What happened at halftime to change this team, we asked the coach. We're sitting here beaten, he says, and suddenly a kind of presence. That's what y'all was singing about. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord. A kind of presence. Let me see if I can find my place. I shouldn't have never looked away. Suddenly a kind of presence seemed to come over us. I started talking to the players, pointing out my own mistakes and theirs, and they started talking. Everyone was honest. Nobody blamed each other. We took a good look at ourselves. Then someone recalled that the great coach, the one who invented the game, also wrote the master game plan. Wouldn't it make sense to see what he said? We remembered how he literally gave himself to get the game started and teach the first team everything he knew. So we got out the original game plan and read about the basics, such as each player knowing his place and dedicating himself to it, about pulling together, being willing to sacrifice, knowing the aim of the game, and using the proper equipment that he designed. Well, we were quiet. It felt as if the great coach was with us, as if someone, somehow, his spirit got inside us. Suddenly, we were up, motivated, ready to go. We can't take the credit. It all goes to Him. I read that last night, and I just had to read it to you. I'm telling you, beloved, we need each other. Amen. We're a body. Right now, I'm battling a great deal of pain. If I told you where it was at, would you believe me? It's that toe. I can't say to that toe, I don't need you. Say amen. It wouldn't matter if it's the big toe or the little toe. I like my toes. And we're the body of Christ. Amen. And the ear can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the ear, I don't need you. Sister Linda, you went down there and had some surgery on your nose. Amen. And I was picking at her there Wednesday night. She had a big bandage on her nose Wednesday night. I said, have you been trying to pick your nose with a hoe? Amen. I know. I'm funny. Amen, I guess. Odd, maybe. But Miss Linda said she liked it. I don't care if none of the rest of you do. Say amen. Amen. But I'm just telling you, we need every part. And we're the body of Christ at Bible Way. And I tell you, there's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to serve the Lord. Let's serve Him with gladness. Amen. Because He's coming. You know where I want to be? I don't want to be on the bench. I want to be in the game. Don't you? Amen. I want to be in the game. We come in here to learn, and we go out there to serve. Amen. We still got that same coach, don't we? I read that last night in the book of Acts. This same Jesus. He's the same coach. Amen. Ain't He good? How many's glad you come tonight? I'll tell you tonight, if you don't know Him, you ought to just get one of us by the arm or by the hand after a while and say, Pastor, I want to know Him. I want to know this Savior. Amen. If you're not serving Him, you need to get up off that bench and serve the Lord. Amen. somebody. God, if you're just willing, God will put somebody on your heart. If you're just willing, if you just ask the Lord. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. God put somebody on your heart, somebody you could call, maybe somebody we've been missing, amen. Maybe somebody that's unsaved, and you can be a blessing to them, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's stand together. We're going to be dismissed in word of prayer.